And welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. This is your Business and Economic Zone here on your number one talk radio station. And ultimately, our discussion of Africa's aviation situation, we still continue with it because I need to highlight another report. It's a report within the discussion that we started with last night. It's a report actually starting from well, if you can call it independent, it's not actually independent because it's one of those bodies that are actually also affiliated to the IATA, or the International Aviation Transport Authority. And to take note of this specific report actually stems from the impacts of the pandemic itself. And it's actually indicated by how much flight travel had fallen. Now remember, please remember, guys, these reports actually is just about the everything stemming from COVID's influences. And ultimately, if you can look at it and also look at the timeline that I'm going to identify with you, is that it was contained within the year of 2020 alone. Now, we've got to understand that since the start of this year, of 2022 actually, the start of this year alone provided its own key, challenges, firstly, for this specific sector. And then on the continent itself, and this is just where I'm going to actually recap from the discussion where we started off from last night, was that the regional vice president for Middle East and Africa, that is now Al-Awadi, just to get the man's name, Kamil Al-Awadi, indicated that for the regional outlook, that now being Africa and the Middle East, you've got to understand that Africa has been the one that has been growing the slowest, or that has been recovering the slowest. Even slower than the Middle East, but I've got to stress that with the Middle East, it does have a connecting function. The two biggest airlines out of the Middle East, Qatar and the Emirates Airlines, both play a pivotal role in terms of connecting Far East Asia, which includes the economies of Japan, China, South Korea, India, as well as also the African continent, as well as also the Oceania region, which is Australia, New Zealand, them, and Europe. Because that specific hub features or functions as a connecting hub. Now, that is the benefit for the Middle East, not so for Africa, because Africa does not play a connecting role. We don't. Last night, we even identified that, even though at the stage when we had our own national air carrier, that being Air Namibia, even though Air Namibia had a direct flight to Frankfurt or direct route to Frankfurt, the other guys that were also servicing our market, as well as also the European market, were also operating on the same route. They were also coming in, they were also flying directly to Windhoek from Frankfurt, or from Frankfurt to Windhoek. Now, here's the other thing. Even though as a country, as Namibia, we are and we want to position ourselves in this key transport, this key corridor, they actually use the phrase corridor, a transport corridor, that we are like the starting point for said corridor. That one of the reasons why, in terms of we provide dry dock facilities to our neighboring SADC members, to allow them this facility to enjoy, increased traffic through our country actually, and through our Walvis Bay port, in order to facilitate that specific function that Namibia should be the specific transport hub, transport corridor, transport entrance point. It is. It's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful. Even if you have to see, for those of us who live here in the capital, this the development that the Western bypass has undergone here in the past year and so, yeah, past 5 years. Let's put it at that. I mean, it's a wonderful bypass. I mean, if you look at it, how it flows, falling out from directly from Northern Industrial or from Okahania as you come in, the bypass used to connect at a normal, just little, you know, three-way robot. Now it's this massive overlay with any traffic flowing out of Windhoek to Rehoboth has to go on a highway that runs over the Western Bypass that runs below it. It looks absolutely wonderful, and it runs there and continuously past the you know, these suburbs of Kleine Cooper and Auersbleek. But that's Namibia's role in terms of functioning as a transport corridor. That's isolated in one sense. The aviation scenario, however, plays a different role. Now, IATA's outlook, just to stress it for us to lay the second part of our discussion for tonight, IATA's outlook sees that global aviation would suffer a loss, or the loss that it suffered would be reduced from 9.7 billion for 2022, and that it would try and return to industry-wide profit, or try their forecast is that profitability would come back for 2022, for 2023. That's now next year. Africa being on full track for said recovery. Now, this does play into the other mechanisms that have been at play. Remember that aviation cannot function on its own. Since 2020, through the auspices of the United Nations, our own Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, MEFT, they have actively been, you know, participating in this tourism revival strategy that the UN had launched in that year of 2020. Actively. And here on Eagle FM, we've exhaustively spoken to participants in the tourism industry, spoken to, you know, had these various instances in terms of where not just the ministry or the minister, but also various representatives indicating, you know, that is important. Let's try and kickstart the tourism sectors around the world, also the global tourism sector for that matter. So this was key. This was the ongoing concern. Let's start one part in order to have to revitalize or to resuscitate that economic ecosystem that the tourism industry provides. And it was vital. It was vital. And partly to that, or, you know, part to that was the continuous work in order to get the airlines and the airports to reopen and to get them back into the skies and to promote or to allow the business community that operates within the tourism sector to actively see some positive change being brought about. That was the first starting block of it. The first point of departure to work from there. Because you needed, in order to get certain strategies and mechanisms in place, you needed to get airlines and airports to allow visitors and traffic to land and to depart. So this was a key function, a key drive in terms of, guys, listen, you know, there was this vital financial ecosystem in the global economy functioning. It flatlined in 2020. We need to get it back up and running. So it is now trying to get back up and running. Now, the full recovery, listen, 2023 would still see part of that recovery continuing. But the full recovery is actually envisaged for 2024. I'm just, you know, giving you a point of correction there. But this is compared to astronomical losses that have been suffered in this 5-year period. So you have to count from 2020 to 2024. You have to count in that 5-year period. You've got to look at the recovery trend. And unfortunately, this is how the recovery trends have to follow. This is how it has to follow. Now, the overall industry, the global aviation industry, actually suffered a monumental $42 billion US dollar loss. That's a lot of money, guys. They lost that much money. That was their global loss. Now, still staying on some of the key things with regards to what the aviation sector provides. Now, remember that there was a June or a July presentation that Alawadi had to do, an AGM presentation here this year, 2022, with regards to the two zones that he has oversight for. Now, for Africa, he noted that Africa has reestablished its connectivity with the rest of the world better than with itself. And this was one of the last points that I actually left off on last night, just before end of the program, was that the AFCTA, I can say the full name, but it's the acronym in terms of how it flows. So the AFCTA, which is the Continental Africa Free Trade Agreement, the aim of that agreement is to allow people and goods to flow, to allow business to impact all countries on the continent, to allow all the countries to trade freely with each other, to open up these zones to each other. Now, in order to facilitate such a function, transport and communication infrastructure are one of the most vital things that play pivotal roles in that scenario. I'll explain. Now, the communication is not primarily based upon you being allowed to roam with your cell phone number or with your mobile number from here in Egypt, for example. If you fly from here to Egypt, no, it's not that kind of scenario. The communication I'm talking about has to do more with the financial scenario of doing continental business, i.e. that your bank has MOUs or trade agreements, or there's trade agreements and scenarios that protect the flow of financing between countries. So, for example, if you find yourself going from here in Namibia to Egypt, that your bank card, your ATM card can function there in Cairo. If you want to pay for something and stuff like that, that it can function. Now, usually that mechanism has been, enabled already through obviously the two largest credit card companies or credit facility companies, i.e. Visa and MasterCard, because if you have to look at your ATM card, you will see either one of those two logos on it. But for the continent's trade facility to work, you need internal policies and internal infrastructures and internal, if I can call it sort of like, foundational elements in place already. You see, it's not just about a Namibian business having to open up a business for a business unit in Central African Republic. It's not just about that. The aspect is all about this Namibian business, the holding company in here in Namibia, should be able to send money to Central African Republic, to the office there. And that office, if it makes money there, should be able to send money back to the Namibian head office. That is a scenario you also need to look at. I.e., that's what the aim of communications has now has become. And the other vital component that allows for the AfCTA agreement to actually flourish is intracontinental travel, i.e. aviation, i.e. meaning that tourists from all across the continent can fly to each other's countries. Look, if you can drive to Botswana, that's fine. But let's, for example, say you can't drive to Mozambique, but you want to fly there. Someone in Mozambique can drive to Tanzania, but what if they want to get to Kenya? So you will fly there. And not everyone's, what you call it, the infrastructure for railway is the same. Not everyone's railway is the same. So if we're going to talk about railway travel even, it's not going to be the same. However, the airlines are one of the, or airports are one of the quickest mechanisms to get this AfCTA agreement to actually be, for it to, you know, materialize, the practicality behind it. The airlines and airports and air travel would allow for this. Now, another thing that airlines and, you know, airlines and airports do is cargo travel. Cargo travel, especially with regards to trade. You see, if that Namibian holding company, the Namibian holding company with the main office being in Namibia and it having a subsidiary in Central African Republic, that holding company will be able to send by air products, goods, services that are produced here by airplane, it getting cleared in Central African Republic by the office there to be able to do business there, and vice versa. As I mentioned yesterday, I indicated, you know, the most plausible scenario of sending produce around the world, or products, or, you know, goods, usually is by sea. But do you really want to wait 12 days? If your product can, if your goods can actually get to you within 5 days, within 2 days, within 3 days, clearance is ultimately just 2 days worth of waiting period. But it'll be there. The loading up won't be the problem. It's the loading off and the clearing in the destination market, in the destination economy. Now, the key thing that Alawadi's presentation noted was also a lack of liberalization of intra-Africa air connectivity that is hampering recovery. You see, guys, let me give you an example of what they have in Europe. And I kept thinking about this for a good 5, 6, 7 years. I've never seen or heard anything like that. You see, the template that you and I have been exposed to with regards to air travel has been that a return ticket in most parts, let's for example say the return ticket to Cape Town from Windhoek, doesn't matter if it was by Air Namibia or by SAA, was between, I think it was 3,000 to the 5,000 Namibian dollar range. It used to range there depending on the season, depending on, you know, when it was applicable. But did you guys know that in Europe, they had a 15-pound ticket, a 10-pound ticket? 10 pounds is 180. No, it's 200 Namibian dollars. A 200 Namibian dollar ticket to fly from Ireland to France. Now, these were the budget airlines that were operating internally within Europe. Budget airlines. You see, there was no business class or what's that other class? Not the economy. The whole plane was economy class. Let's understand that. But there was no the other two luxury, you know, levels or classes on the plane. It was just the whole plane was budget. or economy, as they would call it. So, if we had to closely look at that template from Europe, and you had to look at the template that Africa had, especially with what Alawadi says here, that there is very few intra-travel, intra-connectedness taking place. Africans are not interested in going to each other by air. Well, except only here in the SADC region, because it's between Namibia, it's between Windhoek, Walvis Bay, Cape Town, Johannesburg, I think Durban is the other destination. But very few Namibians, I don't know if we Namibians ever like, if we even have, you know, any sort of likeness for Durban. But those are the three routes that you can look at. And also, you know, there's Luanda, you know, from TAG, the Angolan national airline. And then there's, where else? Yeah. So those would be the three common countries that have this interconnectedness to each other. Obviously, Ethiopian Airlines came along the way as well, connecting Addis and Windhoek. But here's the thing. How many Namibians want to go to Addis Ababa? I've heard wonderful things of how that city looks like. It looks almost like an Italian city in some parts. You know, I have a friend that he worked there, and he indicated, you know, that it looked weird. Obviously, I know where the Italian influence comes from. It's also from the very brutal colonial history. But you get to understand, okay, wow, it looks like the place looks like this then, and this is the scenario here. But it's at limited capacity. You see, the best scenario would have been Africans flying to each other, visiting each other. Africans connecting each other's aviation routes and aviation facilities to each other. Guys, I'll tell you another phenomena. In my off time watch YouTube videos, I keep seeing these suggestions from Nigerian and Ghanaian influencers, social media influencers. They're actually just vloggers, guys that make videos about where they traveled. A lot of them have made videos about Windhoek and Namibia. And they are highlighting us as this hidden gem, this hidden tourist gem on the continent. They can't believe a country like Namibia exists. Now, it's not to say that, you know, we feel chuffed for ourselves and we can brag a little bit, you know, but yeah, Namibia is like this, this, and this. But they used to think it was just South Africa that exists. And that Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique, we are like non-entities that just exist in a vacuum. That there's just this vacuumous space around South Africa. Until they started visiting Namibia. You would not believe it, guys. They are truly surprised at what we've got as a tourist destination, as a hosting country. They really can't believe it. Now, here's the thing. Tourism is that first point of business in order to make that AFCTA agreement materialize. Everything else after that is as a result of the, firstly, aviation linking all intra-continental travel and destinations with each other. And second onto that is also the tourists that we can generate from there. You see, Alawadi's observation in terms of saying Africa has reestablished connectivity with the rest of the world better than with itself, which means we are our own worst enemies. I'm not saying us Namibians. We obviously would welcome any visitors. I mean, and I keep mentioning it to you, if we had access to Ministry of Home Affairs or the immigration statistics per year in terms of who are the biggest visitors to Namibia at our borders, at our airports, you would see it would be South Africans, people from Botswana, Angolans. And then the Europeans would come, like Germany, France, North America. Who else is there? The UK. Then they would come. They even the Chinese visitor would be part of that cluster. But here's the thing. Here is the thing. In most parts, in what you would have heard and what you would have seen, is that it does seem that Namibia and South Africa, we are operating almost like in an isolated scenario. We are quick.
Whether you're a fit cookie or a podaiki, 20K could be on your way. Stay tuned. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no wish we faguja, Omanjirorongo Oduataya Academic Year 2023, Okapatruka, Enderinapa if you record a paparoe mo education, Ukarolongi Fikora, Ireufe or Health and Social Science, Osho my Fano, Information and Communication Technology. Strategic management and leadership, na taimonika no tourism, osho hospitality and event management, business administration, environmental studies and postgraduate studies, at shota demonika. Wherede, otomonika ko website, www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po embiro da IUM, tikulipo pepi. Mo venduka, mongu renguru, mongu diva, no mompae, otadi monika. Wirero tu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma veri hamano, inda komesho, kufetoko roli rimonjira, toiko mwona kui wainerao, pamwena IUM.
Now, as we come back from that extended break right there, the key thing, the very important thing that we've got to identify here, guys, is if the African continent is only interested in luring in either European tourists or North American tourists or Middle East and Far East Asian tourist markets, it's a problem. It's a problem with regards to the perspective. It's a problem because the idea is, you've got to identify that we are constantly looking towards those markets to be the earnings. You know, the earnings that we want to make, we look at those markets. The second thing is also, is looking at Namibia and South Africa that are so eager to connect the two economies with each other in terms of the aviation reconnection. We are so quick to reconnect with each other. I gave you the example of Air Link that flies from Johannesburg or Cape Town to Walvis Bay and Hosea Kutako. So you obviously see an eagerness here regionally to connect each other. The notion is, are we eager to connect with Mozambique, with Zambia, with DRC, with Zimbabwe or Botswana? I know sometimes if you just had to look at a map or you consult your map, you would see that it's just as good you start driving. Or you go on a road trip. But the question still exists is the potential to move so much more people and goods on the continent has greater potential to give an automatic boom to the continent's aviation industry. Now, if you have to look at benefits across the continent based on a study of all 55 countries coming from that said presentation of Alawadi in June, July, he noted that you could see a $2.7 billion US dollar increase in GDP. You could see an additional 300,000 jobs across the continent being added. You could see $1.85 billion US dollar increase in trade on the continent. You could also see a 27% increase in flight frequencies on the continent. A 26% reduction in fares, meaning if there were more travel between the countries, the trips would be cheaper. Remember I mentioned to you that thinking back to the times when if you had to look at the flight routes between of SAA and Air Namibia, a return ticket to Cape Town would be 3,000, 5,000 between that range, that price range. The same also to Joburg. Now imagine if there was more activity, more flights in the week taking place, for example, between Windhoek and Cape Town or Windhoek and Johannesburg, more flights. This would result in more people moving between the points, i.e. the ticket price would then start becoming cheaper because there'd be more movement of people and goods. Trade, obviously, is also because planes also carry cargo between these two points. Now, this is the suggestion that Alawadi gives. Another one is that you would actually see a 51% overall growth of air traffic on the continent, which is awesome. But then we stress the following points once again. There are certain unstable hot zones on the continent. I will mention these hot zones again. The one is Ethiopia. The second is South Sudan currently. South Sudan, Sudan in its entirety. Even though the two have split, the South Sudan has split from Sudan, the unfortunate thing is that on both sets, you do find some form of, there's something bubbling just below the surface in those two countries. You go to Libya. It's still facing, unfortunately, some form of a civil war. You go to the now ECOWAS region, where the other members have somewhat blacklisted Mali. You have Burkina Faso also there in the mix. Then you've got to look at, if you want the AFCTA agreement to actually kick off, these specific hot zones need to be cooled down. They need to be cooled down. Here's the thing. Namibia won't accept people flying from conflict zones to its country. Because the question then would arise in terms of, are you coming here to seek asylum or are you coming here to seek refugee status? There's nothing wrong with that. Namibia is part and parcel to that convention, that refugee convention. The downside is that if these other zones across the continent don't cool down, don't practice some form of or instill some form of political stability, the AFCTA will just be a pipe dream. The AFCTA will just stay a theory. The AFCTA will only work in specific parts of the continent where these cluster of countries will see, okay, in order for us to enjoy the fruits of our agreements, we've got to stay stable. Look at how quickly, within a year, Namibia and Zambia are already looking at MOUs to impact each other's economies by establishing, signing that MOU that will allow a refining process in Zambia to take place and a pipeline to run through Namibia to connect to that refinery process. I.e., value addition being generated there, which will allow us as Namibian consumers to reap the benefits in terms of cost-effective or affordable fuel. Right there. Now, you don't easily see such MOUs. You don't easily see such agreements. You don't easily see such desires to work with each other. You don't. The other thing is the rapid adoption of the green hydrogen projects across the continent. It's not just Namibia and South Africa, guys. It's not just Namibia and South Africa. Tanzania is looking at its own. And I think Kenya is also eyeing its own. So here you're seeing countries that are looking to the future going like, listen, we've got to be in that discussion in the future. Meaning, let's start now to be there and to be involved there. Let's start now to be there and to be involved there. And this is what these countries are doing. Namibia, South Africa, as I mentioned, Tanzania. They're starting to roll the ball. That whole east coast of Africa, guys, from Kenya, and I'm just pulling a line, from Kenya down to Mozambique, down to South Africa. Well, South Africa is actually the point itself, so let's stop at Mozambique. Down to Mozambique is a tourist hub. It's a tourism hub. Those three, four countries, that includes, I think, Uganda and Malawi. All those countries on that hub. And in the mix, you add in Rwanda with its, you know, service infrastructure that's, you know, on point, as well as also the policies under Kagame that the country is heading towards in terms of firstly providing stability, secondly having policies in order to aid AU policies from the AU that it can implement on the ground in its country that generates the benefit for its broader community or broader citizenry, providing that stability, especially there in the central parts of the continent. You've got a country like that operating there. But you have to add, I'm adding Rwanda in with the east, you know, East African countries, on the eastern board of the continent. So right there, you're seeing these symbols of stability, plus they've got thriving tourism markets all the way down to South Africa, all the way into Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, Namibia. I don't know much about Angola's tourism market. I really don't know much. Probably because it's a Lusophone country. Lusophone meaning either it's Portuguese speaking. So the question from there is, the template for the AFCTA would be lovely if Namibia, South Africa, majority of the SADC guys, connected their air travel for infrastructure with each other. You see, you can connect road networks, railway networks, for sure, you can do that. It'll be a little bit more costly, a little bit more timeously, and it'll be a bit time consuming in terms of goods and people to flow. But one of the easiest mechanisms to implement is connecting airports with each other to allow people to fly between points. To allow them to fly between points. Now, as part of the movement of people, aviation also brings air cargo operating levels, or air cargo operating and transportation. Now the air cargo operating levels before the crisis, before the pandemic, was 9% higher. And it was doing well already, operating above, or currently now, the levels. Is that it was operating at 9% above pre-crisis levels in the continent. Above 18% in the Middle East. And that air cargo has been a lifeline for many economies, especially with the deliverance of vaccines, personal protective equipment, medical equipment, and even e-commerce. This has been wonderful. It's actually been one of the things that has kept the continent's airline industry going. But it has also seen revenue start, or, you know, star for many airlines in the industry, according to Alawadi, in the specific zone. Now, as I mentioned, guys, actually, there are big three players from the Middle East. It's Qatar Airways, Emirates, and Etihad Airways. And he notes here that the Middle East's big three played a critical role in the very big task of keeping, or, you know, by flying throughout the crisis. So even there, they were continuously moving goods and services during the pandemic itself. Even then. Now, it tells you what. Firstly, you are keeping certain things active in terms of, i.e., you're keeping trade flowing. You're keeping it going. Second onto that is also, you are allowing continuous air travel to take place, meaning that the activity of the airports and the aircraft is still ongoing. But there are barriers that Alawadi also indicated in his presentation. Firstly, the barriers to travel that have to be lifted. Now, at that stage, still at June, July, the key point that was being emphasized was still the fully vaccination, or that travelers had to prove and provide proof that they are fully vaccinated or free from infection. As well as also that fully vaccinated travelers should not face additional barriers that are presented or that are implemented. He also noted that the use of testing for non-vaccinated passengers, or making use of testing for non-vaccinated passengers, and that this should only be implemented, you know, in the case of minors, previously infected people, and medical exemptions, and that there needs to be more vaccines on the continent to allow more of the continental population to actually move between destinations. Because he stresses that the freedom of movement will be limited until vaccines are universally available. I know, we are in 2022, guys. We're still talking about that point. Well, not me specifically, but it is a concern. It is a concern. I.e., that on the continent, there could be a different set of rules or regulations between, let's say, Namibia and Gabon. Right? Well, I don't know if Namibia has bilateral relations with Gabon. I really don't know. But still, let's work in a hypothetical scenario. Now, Namibia could have different regulations between Namibia and South Africa. We know what that is. It was well publicized as well. We know what that is. And these entities are, you know, obviously they're continuously communicating with each other. But now, for example, Gabon comes along and they want to now have bilateral relations. And Namibia imposes a different set of regulations or requirements or conditions on travelers coming from Gabon. But Gabon has to have slightly less stringent regulations for Namibians going there. Because ultimately, we as ourselves, we have actively participated in the global fight against the pandemic. Our statistics were there on the Google statistics tracker that it had. We were there. You just had to throw in Namibia COVID and you would see Google highlighting their own statistics based upon the statistics that obviously our ministry was generating and collecting. So, we were there. That means we are pretty well in terms, we're doing pretty well in terms of information sharing, information dispensation, and also being at the forefront because of our prominent position in the international tourism market. Namibia does have an important position there. Even though it's just on the African continent, Namibia has a position there. Now, I take you to a key point or a contribution actually as part of my other literature research. The gentleman that we left off with last night, Hassan El Houri, who is the group CEO for National Aviation Services. Now, he contributed something to the World Economic Forum earlier this year in terms of let me just see when this was dated, July 2022. Now, El Houri notes that commercial aviation generates, and I stressed this last night, it generates $6 of related economic activity for every $1 value created. This is so key. And I mentioned that the tourism industry actually is a very complex and very well-connected economic ecosystem. It's an economic ecosystem. Restaurants, rental companies, or car rental companies, hospitality facilities, supermarkets, hotels, lodges. Who else is there? There's a whole host of other services that are so interconnected to the tourism market, and that the tourism market is connected by a thread to the aviation industry. Because if you have an airport and your country does have bilateral relations with other countries, allowing people from other countries to come to your country. I mentioned to you earlier this year, guys, in terms of the moment Namibia and Russia signed that MOU saying that Russians don't need or don't require a visa to come to Namibia. You just need your passport. Oops, we started seeing Russians. I started observing Russians here in the center of Windhoek. I started seeing Russians. I was like, wow, they were never this much. You know, you would hear through statistics or through other statistics hubs. You would hear, so we do have Russian tourists coming here. We used to only think it's French, German, and American. Now you also hear that we've got UK tourists coming. So there's the thing. Now, the COVID pandemic unfortunately isolated the African continent, and it also weakened critical links between neighboring countries. The links, I should stress, guys, in some cases it would have been non-existent. I mean, just think about it. Just think about it. How many African countries do we actively see tourists coming from besides, let's say, Angola, South Africa, Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Zambia? How many other African countries would fly to Namibia? Their citizens would fly to Namibia. How many? We can't even count it because the question then stems from, did they know that Namibia was a tourist destination? Did they know or not? And between other African countries themselves, the question then comes in, why would you want to fly if you can drive? That probably is the biggest, I don't want to call it the white elephant or the elephant in the room scenario, but it is the biggest challenge to air travel. People will ask you, why would I need to make use of air travel if I can drive there? So many guys, do you know how many Africans actually drive between each other? You know, they move between the countries by road. So many businesses exist to move people by road between two countries. And the cost is far cheaper than getting on a plane. Even though the plane gets you there within 2 hours, you would still say, okay, I'll take half the cost of that and get on a bus. I'll sleep it out for that 12 hours, for that 12-hour trip, or for that, or is it a 10-hour trip? Yeah, for that 10-hour trip. I'll sleep it out. So the question then becomes, aviation might look like it's in a weakened state if you had to look at intracontinental travel. But on the basis of bilateral relations, Africans are willing to drive to each other's countries. I mean, currently there are now so many Angolans now in Namibia. You see those black number plates with the white numerals and with the white numbers and letters. There are even now Botswana nationals also driving around with their cars. So it tells you what. Fellow Africans would rather drive there than fly there. They would risk it. They would drive there than fly there. Now, it's key to note here, guys, that this would mean you need to ask the question for tourism from two directions. You know, how many people come, for example, to Namibia by road, and how many people come to Namibia by air? And if we're looking at the destinations that they're going to come from, what is the spread? Which countries? Who predominantly features by road and who predominantly features by air? Right? And then you've got to ask the question, the affordability in terms of the mode of transport. What would a full tank of petrol cost from Luanda to Windhoek? Depending on the size of the car, obviously, and the size of the engine. Then you've got to ask the question of, what would an airline ticket cost from Frankfurt to Windhoek? We're taking the longest routes, obviously, to compare, you know, apples with apples, if even though it's not apples and apples. But we're doing a little exercise. Now, when you see, okay, so people willing to drive potentially would pay less in terms of fuel cost, the cost of fuel, as opposed to someone flying from Frankfurt that is paying more for a ticket just to get you. Now also note that 23% increase in business travel for Africa has also been forecasted for this year as well. But even though this year is done, it's almost done, it would be interesting to see what the end of year statistics would look like. Now, Hassan El-Houri, and the important thing to take note of here is that he indicates that Africa has a commercial aviation gap. This is true. We do have a commercial aviation gap. And even though Namibia and South Africa are actively connecting each other, you know, in terms of Johannesburg, Windhoek, Cape Town, Windhoek, Johannesburg, Walvis, Cape Town, Walvis, if you have to look at those routes taking place, you realize, yeah, that's two countries linking each other up. They're linking each other in terms of that they are South Africans that visit Namibia and Namibians that visit South Africa. But what about the rest of the continent? The rest of the continent obviously would speak a lot bleaker picture. A picture indicating that, yeah, air travel is not actively promoted as it sometimes is in other parts of the continent. Now, it says that Africans, which formulates at least 17% of the world's population, accounts for at least only 3% of air passenger figures as of the year 2019, before the coronavirus outbreak. In 2021, El-Houri notes that with global air travel at just 42% of 2019 levels, Africa was only at 1.9% of air passengers, of transporting air passengers by air. 1.2%, bro, 2%. Guys, a 2% is tiny. Tiny. Now, in terms of this take, and unfortunately, I only have a minute left, but this specific take will lead us into tomorrow night's edition in terms of just taking a look at some challenges that need to be overcome. Now, I already highlighted some challenges, but aviation is key, guys. Aviation is an industry that you cannot ignore. Not by a country mile. You cannot ignore it. Because if we're talking about tourism, if we're going to be talking about tourism and how to help tourism or how to help economies function or how to help restart a sector or how to help FDI flow to your country, aviation, the means to get that end result is through aviation. Strengthening said aviation will allow the function of trade, of people, of goods, of services to actually occur. And on that note,
omana ne wo ndara teme hira kamwa ha poro shiwangongo. Hinanga mbulio na mbimu uramba. Kako, 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 kako. Shiwana nondara tamba. Wanduare maithi hivi korui. Shitu hino kuna nanokushevero uthembawe hii mamaturi uoshua ngungu po waka mwaha. Okusha tokura meno matukiro kukara na wipotha mamahiwe tuombadhu. Ehiro shua ngungu, owini uoshua na oretu atuhi. Etekatu thero kia njero vandu okutuha na pare rapo. Ehiro shua ngungu, ehiro horo mende. Monao, owini wetu atuhi. Kapeno mundu nguya njero kushito shapu mavanga. Nukuhino uthemba okutha kuhona pare uombadhu. Po oshirata shomahi otukundwa tokolo mbanda. Ove mwene yo kushevero shukuni no shoye, po ehipu peno nganda yo euriri, nondarata, nungwari, kahiro marithiro. Imbo openje noveta, oshako veta yo mathuni no wehi, oisha tano yomburo mayovievari nambari. O ministri yo tutumbo no vikunwa, omeva no mathuni no wehi, ino ngendo nongaro njika endithi wovandushiva, beka enda kumurungu nukuna nodho ndarata mehira kamwaha nukuhino uthemba. Monao, o ministri oshima iya njo ndunge kuimba beka endi thongaro njo okutho kudhako kongaro hatheru anjo. Kehi oveta wa matuni no wehi, oveto isha tano yomburo mayovivari nambari, kapeno mundu nguya njiro kuna nondarata mamahiwa kamwaha nukuhina uthemba. Gamo mundu nguamu ni kwenjo, molo njito dhopenje yoveta mape womberero, yodondo ladha Namibia o mayoviane. Po, ombure imwe moshuwaka mburu. Po, odombero wade mbari, ama pedu kongaro. Imba mbeno ngo nomo kuitha po dondarata nduva nana, kumbundera aro uho na pare, wina mawe thuto dondo ladha Namibia, mirongo vitano meyuva arihe, ondarata njo shirimbo. Ohoromende ino mediri ya okunana, no kuche hiro maturi owoshua ngungu, mombwiro yovi wana vyombadhu, bia tulaporuwe ndo. Mondando yokuera ondengu yoviungura yomekurithiro. Odondrata ndaya njero wa mamahiwa waka mwaha. Odondande shevero tumbo todonga nda. Ovikuni no. No viunda vyodongo mbi. Odondrata dopenge yoveta. Odondade hendesha ero shuwana. Okuunguritha odomburo dokuti no marindi. O ministri maivanga ovakwatira wa Namibia kokusha vemune outhembawa opupeta. No kumuna odomburo dokuti. Okuturu ngira mumachero, nomana neno omathimba, momano wonje verero yomade vangeripo. Oshuwa na menara nao, oshima shini ngirwa, okushivi thangamwa omana newodho ndarata wopenje yoveta, koma uhona pare wombadhu, oshirata shomahi waka mwaha, po o ministri yopopedhu njiri modondende radhao. Oveta yehi ipiru kira omana neno wodho ndarata ngeri penje noveta, monao, shito maningirio okuturu ngira moshirata shomahi waka mwaha. Okunana odondarata momahi waka mwaha nukuhino uthemba openje noveta. Oviungura vietu okuhona pare rapo nukuienenitha omaunguriro omathemba odombwiro dhehi mo Namibia. Omuhunga wetu okuienenitha omahaneno odomburo dhehi mo Namibia omananeno mathemba no maungurithiro wadho kumbwiro yovature va Namibia avehi. Ondando, okuhongorela po oshungura shomatuni no wehi, no mana ni wadhoporo harama adhome kurithiro wehi roshua ngungu, nongwithikiro okudha kohoromende ya Namibia, Oruano roma hiro a Europe, no maungurio wa kumwe, kweno horo mende ye hiro vando ishi, okuturu ngira mombanga yome kurithiro ye hiro vando ishi. Konjivi thiro komurungu, hakaena norupa roma piti thiro odhombude, the ministry pono moranji. Onoro hambo umwe oimwe.
Ombaro onora, ohambo ndatu, ohambo mbari, omuvyu, ombari, omuvyu.